Good afternoon, brethren. It's good to see you all. Beautiful Sabbath day. The last day of the feast of 2016 was over a couple of months ago, and we feel the nostalgia, the hearing the wonderful messages by different ministers of God. We were taught about the coming kingdom, the world tomorrow, what it bestows us, and it felt real when we were at the feast. Brethren, how real is it to you? We were in the midst of the Babylonian mystery festivities here this past week and this coming week, and supposedly was the birth of Jesus Christ. But which Jesus were they celebrating? I feel nostalgic when I spoke to my mom and dad and my sister and my family over in the Philippines. I miss them very much, and I like to be there when the parties and celebrations, but not on just circumstances during these holy holidays, they could call them. This world's holidays are always backward looking. They don't want to relive what is in the past. They constantly rehearse what's happened in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, albeit the wrong time of the year. Brethren, what God is teaching us is looking forward. It's always forward looking in the future, and what He has in store for us. It's marvelous compared to what we have seen and what we have heard. That is why God does not put emphasis on celebrating birthdays. He'd rather celebrate the death of a person, of a saint, because He knows that the next time the person opens his eyes, it will be the resurrection, and it will be a great, wonderful time. As what Psalms 116 says, God declares, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Since this is our destiny, how real is the kingdom of God to you? So this afternoon, I'd like to rehearse with you some the awesomeness of God and Christ's love for us, of what they have done and the plan of salvation that they have put together. The patriarchs and the Christians saw the kingdom so vividly that they were willing to give up whatever little they had, in some cases a little luxury, to endure persecutions, the loss of the family members, the ridicule of members, to be ostracized by society, and to live in miserable conditions. Let's turn to Hebrews 11, verses 37 to 40. Hebrews 11, 37, he said, They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good testimony to faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. These people had vision. They believed with their whole heart. They had the same passions and desires like you and me today. They cared for their parents, their cousins, their nephews, just like me and you. How much do you want to see the coming of Jesus? Hearing the trumpet sound, seeing our bodies change to spiritual nature? Do we yearn for this and anticipate this to happen soon? Do we think of this often and focus our mind on how we can best prepare for this event? God and Jesus want us to be there in their kingdom. They planned this for a gazillion of years, and they're about to see the fruit of their labor finally coming soon. I've been thinking about some things in the past about, you might have wondered, how much did God and Jesus love us? When He said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God meant this in everything that He said. Even Paul reminded us of what God is fulfilling us in us here. In Philippians 1 verse 6, he says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." How profound is this to you, brethren? God, who owns the entire universe, the billions of galaxies, quadrillions of stars out there, millions of light years away, yes, everything even on this earth, He had all the power and capability. everything. He and Jesus Christ created a plan that they had to rescue man from the sure death, a certain death, an everlasting death, that if that man is not changed to spiritual nature, that he will just be wiped out, forgotten. And that spiritual nature can only come about through a resurrection from our human flesh of this bones and flesh bones and frame that we have into a different body, a spiritual body. Think about this. If you were a creator, if you had all the power in all the world, in all the universe, that you and your son are, who is your BFF or best friend forever, literally, you have lived with the angels for all eons of time and shared your glory with these angels. However, this angel states a mutiny against you and your son. You wanted to share your glory and power to not only a few independent thinking, rational, free will individuals whose desire may be totally different than yours. Not only to a few, but to billions, most probably over 100 billions of these created beings. But you had to mitigate the risk that these individuals may go rogue against you, just like the angels, and fight against you. Remember, you had experience in the past with the angels. After some time, you came up with a plan required that your son, who has to live with you for all eternity, to give up his God being and take on the same nature of the created beings that you have just created, live a perfect and sinless life, then eventually die for this created being. How awesome is that? Nobody in my right mind could think about that, that is what God really did. Incidentally, you did not do the same sacrifice when the angels went against you. That's why the angels who went rogue couldn't understand their plan, because it was so beneath them. You as the creator would give up your super being to be dying for your puny, much inferior created beings. Mind you, these created beings are all spoiled brats and all rebelling against you. They have not heard about you. They want to go away from your nature. But, and it's a big if, they confess their faith and trust in the sacrifice of your son, that they will be spared that certain death, that forever death, and will be offered eternal life to live with you. The question is, couldn't you have thought about some other easier way to rescue your created beings other than giving up your son's life and godness? Then also, after the son had become one of your created beings, you allow him to die a very harsh and gruesome death. Could there have been any other way to accomplish this plan than through this way? When your son knew about this impending and cruel death, he prayed three times that even his sweat and become bloody. And finally, there was dying on the cross. You turn his back on him. You have forsaken him, even for just a second, or less than a second. Remember, God reckons 1,000 years as one day, and your son had to live a perfect life for 33 and a half years. It would have been only 48.24 minutes of God years. Then 4 hours on the cross that he had to endure the sufferings, which would have been less than a second to God. However small it is, he still had to endure it. And at that time when he was on the cross, this was the first time that you had to turn your back to your son from some eternity. This was a big risk, but if your plan did not work, you will be living the rest of eternity all by yourself, and your created beings, all 100 billions or so of them, will cease to exist. So you see, when God says that he gave his son to die for the world, that is for the humanity, he and Jesus took a huge step, and that was he didn't offer to the angels. But why did God do it this way? Because he wanted to show us his vulnerability. Once this created being saw the vision and the promises and accepted and believed the sacrifice that God, the Creator, gave for them, that they would soften their hearts, that it would give them a heart to stop rebelling against God, to obey him to the point that they were willing to go through suffering and pain and going through the dens and deserts. That's what the patriarchs of Hebrews 11 did. And hopefully, we will do likewise to stop rebelling against God and wholeheartedly obey Him to the point of going through the same suffering, mockings, and ridicules from even our families and friends. If we did this, Hebrew 11 will be rewritten with our names included. Like in verse 38 to 39, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God providing us some better way that they should not be perfect apart from them. So brethren, let us consider the encouragement from the book of Hebrews in the book of Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight, every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. God and Jesus did all the heavy lifting, all the work for us already. All the planning, the big sacrifice, they both took so that they can have us in their family and are highly anticipating us to be in that big harvest coming up very soon. Our job is to obey God, to believe in Jesus Christ and God, and have the faith and never lose that vision of what they have prepared for us since the time was created. We're now at the end, the last day of 2016, and whatever you did in 2016, however good it bad, that will now be in the past. In this coming year, 2017, according to man's reckoning, let us be more resolved in developing that godly character in obedience and faith in God and in Jesus Christ, and never lose that vision that He has revealed to us. Remember, He had a huge sacrifice that He had done already. So all you got to do is just take it.